many people, people who have been praying for. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We are thankful to God. God is a miracle worker. Our reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. I should have read it from there, so short notes. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and he bought it.
Great to be with you again and to be able to bring God's word this morning. I can't let Martin get away with that little funny quip though, can I? The worship group this morning, weren't they great?
Yes. Yeah.
And they're still great. So we're very grateful for the group that we've got and the leading that they can bring. So we're not going to get away with any assertions that they could be any better than they are. They're wonderful. So I've got an interesting short parable to discuss with you this morning. And as Jonathan shared with us last week, these two parables, the one about hidden treasure last week and the pearl of great price this week, can be interpreted in one of two directions, and both I think are valid. And the commentary and the book I use to help me think through the parables by R.T. Kendall says that this one, there are two ways that you can view this parable. One interpretation could be about our seeking after God, but it could also illustrate the way in which God seeks us. He sees us, and can I just stop and go round? Every one of you here this morning, God sees every one of you as a pearl of great price. So valuable that God sent his son to die for you. That's how important God sees you and thinks of you. So whatever you're going through this morning, however difficult things are, however disillusioned you are with your own situation and your own present difficulties, God sees you as valuable as a pearl that's priceless. That's how important God thinks you are. So I hope that this morning you can get something of that sense of value that God sees. God sees what you like, and God sees that you are of great value. And the other side of the coin is that God's kingdom is so valuable and important in our lives that it must be our top priority. It must be the thing that is the bedrock and the foundation of our lives. And that's the bit, I suppose, I'm going to explore a little bit. Because I could sit down now and say, well, you know, that's the sermon. But you might think I'm a bit shortchanged. And have you ever heard a preacher go on for 5 minutes? Rarely. They usually go on for a bit longer. So, what's the difference between what was said last week in terms of finding treasure, hidden treasure, and a pearl of great price. Well, to start with, this picture that we are given is of a merchant who is looking for something of great worth. In that commentary that I just mentioned, the author, Artie Kendall, says that he reckons there were probably only 40 or 50 or so merchants dealing with pearls in the whole world at the time of Jesus. These would be people with great expertise, great experience, and probably they've made themselves quite a bit of money. So this week, we're thinking about somebody who has human riches and has human understanding of what goes to make a great pearl. So, what goes to make a great pearl?
Sand.
Sorry?
Sand.
Sand. Sand, yeah. So, yeah, that's what starts it off. And I'll come to that in a minute. So, if you're looking at a pearl, what do you think? What determines its value? Sorry?
Shiny.
The whiter the pearl, the better. Shape. Pearls that are regarded as perfect are round in all circumferences. And what else? The obvious thing? Size. The bigger the size, the bigger the value. And this merchant would have been able to assess the value of a pearl just by looking at it and just feeling it. Was it round? What was the colour? How big was it? So this merchant would have great expertise, great experience, and be someone whose understanding of pearls would be great, of great value. And as I say, probably they earned a good living by trading pearls. So it was somebody who knew what they were looking for, and realized what things were of important value. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus uses a pearl merchant as an example. I won't necessarily think that you fall under the same problems as I do, but sometimes I think of Jesus particularly emphasizing his poverty, his humble origins, the fact that he had no home, the fact that he had no money of his own, really. And that Jesus, in his teaching, always talks about the deception that riches can bring, the problems that riches can bring. Can a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven? Someone asks him. And yet, Jesus talks in this parable about somebody who's got experience and expertise of beautiful things and has got some riches. And I'm sure that the contrast between last week's parable and this week's parable, one of the contrasts is that Jesus is saying that, yes, even rich people can be pearls of great price. And even rich people can recognize that the kingdom is something of value and importance. So I think that's one difference between this week and last week. We're dealing with people with some wealth and with some understanding. And I thought, well, you know, would Jesus know about pearls? Don't think there's likely to have been many pearls in the carpenter's shop, do you? Don't think Joseph and Mary would have afforded any pearls. They wouldn't have bought them. They can't cost colossal amounts of money. Would Jesus know anything about pearls? But hang on, he's the creator of the world, isn't he? Duh. He created pearls. So of course he knows about them. And pearls are one of those extravagant, strange things about the creation, aren't they? They are beautiful. They are regarded of great value, along with diamonds and other things. And what did God create them for? You know, why are they there? What's the point and the purpose of them? I guess, just to look beautiful. And for God to be able to say, hey, have you seen my creation? Have you seen the beauty of flowers? Have you seen the pearlescence? I think that's a word, isn't it? Of pearls. What beauty I have created. And let's now pick up exactly what John said. Do you know how pearls are formed? Bit of grit. And it's the oyster's reaction to being irritated. And something of beauty, something of immense value, comes from something that is basically an irritation, a bit of grit, a bit of sand. And I was thinking, a bit like human personality, isn't it? It's often the things that are gritty and sandy and irritating and on the surface rather unpleasant that sometimes produce the beauty and the character and the personality and the goodness and the kindness of someone. I was reading in the papers, no, it wasn't, it was on BBC News website, I think it was, of somebody who had been transformed in prison by hearing the word of God, and who said that although prison was a tough, difficult, horrible place, looking back, he would not have wanted to miss it because it was there that his character was forged and his life was changed. So the bits of grit in your life, the bits that irritate you, God can use to make something of beauty and to make something of lasting value and worth. The merchant in this parable was on the lookout for a pearl of great value. And I am sure that one of the interpretations that Jesus wants us to bring to the parable is this idea. Because these are parables, if you remember, of the kingdom of God, parables of what the kingdom of God is like. And one of the interpretations I am sure that Jesus wants to bring to us is that the kingdom of God is the most important thing in life. And can I ask the rhetorical question? Is it the most important thing in your life? What do you want from life? And I guess many people would answer, well, I want a good job. I want some financial security. I want a family. I want people, friends who care for me. And we, if you like, think about those things when we're talking about what constitutes a good life, what constitutes the sort of life that we want. And so the challenge comes, and it comes to people who know and love Jesus, is what priority do you give to knowing and loving Jesus in your life? Is it just one of the good things in your life? Or is it the pearl of great price? Is it the thing of most value in your life? Is it the thing that drives all of your life? And there's the challenge. What priority has the kingdom of God in our lives? I'm getting old, you know. I'm starting to look at the newspaper's obituary columns.
You're not there yet.
No, not there yet. No, thank you. No, still alive. But it is interesting. The Neat News, particularly, it comes out once a week and we don't get it, so I have to go and look at it in WH. No, I didn't say that. But, you know, it is the interest in knowing the patients I've looked after, the names that I can recognise. And obituaries follow a very, very similar path, don't we? They lay out the name of the person who's died, their often their age at death. Don't usually mention the cause of death. But then they list their family and occasionally their work, and sometimes a phrase to express some of their beliefs. We also have some medical obituaries in a thing called the British Medical Journal. And again, I've got to open my BMJ. They're always at the back, so I now open my BMJ from the back to the front. It's sad, isn't it? But you know, yeah, I worked with him, or I know that one, or that one taught me. And again, if you look at the BMJ obituaries, they tend, because it's a medical thing, to list all your medical qualifications and list all the jobs that you've done and the influence that you've been in your medical life. Family doesn't really often get much of a look in, although it often at the bottom says, you know, married so-and-so and two children or whatever. Sometimes those obituaries say something like, this doctor was sustained throughout their lives by a firm faith. They don't often say faith in Jesus, but you're usually picking that up, or a firm Christian faith. So when I think about obituaries, and I'm just using it really to illustrate this point I'm trying to make about priorities, what do you reckon your obituary would be? What would you want the Nuneaton News to say about you? Do you know that? Lighten the mood. Just, do you know the joke? Spike Milligan was asked, what would you like to see written on your tomb? And he said, just the phrase, I really was ill, you know. But just as a way of thinking about what are the priorities of your life, do you see the kingdom as the priority in your life? Is the most important thing, and I'm challenging myself as well, I'm not pointing the finger at all, honestly. Do I see my love for Jesus, my Christian faith, as absolutely the foundation, the greatest thing, the thing of most value, the thing that exceeds everything else in my life? Yes, family is important. The Bible teaches that. Yes, our work is important. The Bible teaches that. But what is the foundation and the thing of most value and therefore the thing that was of greatest priority in our lives? Is it Jesus and following him? Let's pray. Lord, we ask as your followers that we may always have you as the center and bedrock of our lives, as the most important part of our lives, as the absolute priority in our lives, that serving and worshiping you is who we are. And thank you, Lord, that the mirror image of that is you see us as the pearls of greatest price, so great that you gave your son for us. Amen.
As we go about our business this week, Lord, would you pour out your spirit upon us? Would you wrap the bits of grit in our lives and make them into pearls? Would you reveal to us how precious you are, that we may be willing to let go of the things that we have held too tightly to? And would you reveal to us how precious we are to you, that we may go out into the world and be pearls of great price for others to see, for your name to be praised, for others to become aware of your love for them too. Send us out, we pray, in and through the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Amen.